Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I have with me Brother Daniel from Australia today. Good morning, Daniel. How are you, sir?
Very good.
Excellent.
Even better than I'm talking to you.
Yeah, well, thank you, brother. We feel the same way, and we're praying about that 14-day quarantine so you can get the heck over here to America and do what you're supposed to do. Let's go. Get out of the way. But listen, Daniel, I got an email this morning from a friend of mine talking about Australia stage 4 restrictions. And I'd like to just read it briefly, what it says, and then get your comments on it, seeing that you're in Australia. But a woman by the name of Cassie Kotras wrote and said, I am currently living under this communist rule here in Victoria, Australia. We have stage 4 restrictions. We cannot leave our homes for more than 1 hour of exercise a day alone. Only one person to the supermarket a day. We have meat and food shortages. All businesses have been closed. You need papers to travel and attend essential work. You need to pass through multiple police checkpoints to go anywhere and produce your papers, i.e. where you live. We are not allowed more than 5 kilometers from our homes, and we have a curfew from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., $100,000 fines for any business breaching these rules per person. We have the army and police going door to door checking our homes. Please Google what is happening to us. We need help. Daniel, is this a reality?
Yeah, it is. It is. And not where I'm living, because I live in New South Wales, but it is for the unfortunate people living in Victoria.
Wow.
Especially in Melbourne. Melbourne is the place where it's the laws are extremely draconian. Level 4 restrictions, and so basically there's no one on the street. In fact, city of Melbourne is a ghost town.
Wow.
So it's really, really incredible. They've got the military on the street. People have to show their papers. Like, it's like you're living in Nazi Germany down there. So, but gosh, it must be said that Daniel Andrews, the premier, which is what you would understand to be a governor.
Okay.
But Daniel Andrews is a hard leftist. Make no mistake about that. He is a hardcore Marxist. So it's no big surprise with what he's doing. He's just basically living out his desire for power. Daniel Andrews is drawing the ire of not just the Melburnians and not just the Victorians, but of the whole country. In fact, he's on Twitter The hashtag Dictator Dan, hashtag Dictator Dan was trending on Twitter because people are just sick and tired of him. By the way, just to give you a bit of an idea just how egregious his approach is, there is a far-left newspaper in Melbourne called The Age. It's a Victorian paper. It's called The Age. It's basically the Victorian equivalent of the Sydney Morning Herald. Anyway, this newspaper even rebuked Daniel Andrews.
Wow.
And rebuked him and said this was an overreach and basically a power grab. Furthermore, you need to understand that Daniel Andrews has extended the state of emergency within Victoria by an additional 12 months, which means
wow,
he basically gets away with whatever he wants with impunity. It's really extraordinary. In other words, he's we put himself out of the reach of he can do whatever he wants without, and he's completely immune from the consequences.
All right, so Daniel, let me just read this one more time, and I just want our listening audience to know that you are confirming that what was written by Cassie Kutras, I believe is how you pronounce the name, is absolutely true. So what I'm about
it's not communist. I mean, that's hyperbole, but I understand where she's coming from.
Okay,
it's exactly like she's living in a communist country.
Okay, and what she's saying is that they're under stage 4 restrictions right now in Victoria and Melbourne. And we cannot leave our homes for more than 1 hour of exercise a day alone. And only one person to the supermarket a day. We have meat and food shortages. Explain that. What's going on with the meat and food shortages?
They have the food shortages because of there are various abattoir plants that have closed down. In fact, there was one abattoir plant in particular that had to close down because they had a COVID-19 outbreak. But it's not just that. The supply chains are breaking down. And that is a major, major, major concern. So there are suppliers that are basically have had to shut down. Look, it's causing chaos down there. Thank God that we're not experiencing the same thing up here, although, you know, we still have restrictions, although not as extreme as down there. But look, it's not looking good down there for the Victorians. But you need to keep in mind, Victoria is, in particularly Melbourne, is the Marxist capital of Australia.
Wow.
All the hard leftists are found. Well, pretty much there's a very, very large presence of Marxists, especially in Melbourne. In fact, that's where the annual conference on Marxism is held every year. So, yeah.
Okay, so we went along with these stage 4 restrictions. What is happening today in Melbourne, in Victoria, Australia, all businesses have been closed. You need papers to travel and attend essential work. You need to pass through multiple police checkpoints to go anywhere and produce your papers, i.e. where you live. We're not allowed more than 5 kilometers from our homes, and we have a curfew from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. And then they're dealing out $100,000 fines for any business that's breaching this and per person. And the army and police are going door to door checking our homes. What's that all about?
Yeah, even without warrants.
Without warrants, they're just going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's draconian. It really is. It's just extraordinary times. Extraordinary times that we're living in. So the police have unprecedented powers, and the people down there are fearful, are full of anxiety, and they're really venting their frustration. I think for Daniel Andrews, it will be a political disaster. I don't see how he will be able to resurrect his political career.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Especially with the fact that he's brought in he's extended the state of emergency down there. And look, with what we have seen, now that all the data has pretty much come in, I mean, we've been in this pandemic for how many months now?
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got data to examine. And one of the things that we've examined is that the lockdowns have been unnecessary. Okay, I mean, in many look at Sweden as a classic example. Sweden did not go into lockdown, okay, and look, they don't fare any better than us, or any better than the, you know. So the Sweden has done remarkably well, and they didn't shut down their economy as a result. Look at, I think it was it South Dakota? Or I think it's South Dakota. There's the Republican governor in South Dakota refused to shut down her state. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they're doing quite well. They're mm-hmm. faring quite well. So, and, you know, and one of the most amazing things, Vincent, is when you can compare the coronavirus active carriers and also the number of deaths, when you compare it to Democrat states versus Republican states, that is very interesting. In fact, what you find is that the spikes are all over Democrat states, in particularly Democrat cities, whereas Republicans are faring quite well. And that says a lot.
Amen, it does. Let me just interject a thought here. This is coming in from Chaos in Kenosha. We all know Kenosha is in Wisconsin. Talk about Democratic states. What we're being told here, Daniel, just real quick, I want to read this. In recent days, all of the major dinosaur media networks ran stories about how dangerous QAnon is, while continuing to describe the violent BLM Antifa protest in Portland as peaceful and ignoring the severity of what's happening in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Early Wednesday morning, that's this morning, videos posted to Twitter showed armed rioters going up against armed business owners. Journalist on Twitter reported that rioters have arrived from out of town in caravans of 200 plus vehicles.
Chicago.
Yeah, this is in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, they're busing in. The busing
from Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Human Events Managing Editor, Ian Miles Chung, tweeted, "Police in Kenosha requested 750 additional support units." Now, I could go on down and describe this whole thing, but here's the point. The writer here says this is the UN globalist plan via the so-called Strong Cities Network and House Bill 7120, which is the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act of 2020, which passed in Congress on June 25th and is making its way to a Senate vote. The goal is to overturn the Second Amendment and to abolish local police in favor of international peacekeeping troops overseen by UN Human Rights Commissioner Michelle Bachelet. Now, Daniel, in Australia, you do not have the right to bear arms, if I'm correct. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So you have no right to bear arms, so there's no resistance against the police and the army and what is coming. And now okay, so what if there were? What if the people did have a Second Amendment right in Australia this point? Do you think they would resist?
One of the things that is interesting, and this came from the CDC, which is really, well, you know, the CDC is the Center for Disease Control, but one of the things that they admitted in one of their reports, and this was a few years ago, where they found that there were over 3 million occasions when American citizens used a firearm to either protect themselves or to prevent a crime. Over 3 million occasions. Now, listen, if you were to apply that to Australia, I can tell you there will be many of occasion which we would have been in the position where we could have used a firearm to save a life, to prevent ourselves from being assaulted, from preventing a crime. We've had that right taken away from us. Now, the right to bear arms is one of the most fundamental human rights there is. Which is funny because the left invent all these other so-called human rights, including a so-called right to murder an unborn child, an unborn baby, as a human right, but they don't see the right to self-defense as a human right.
Crazy.
So it is absolutely crazy. Now we had that our gun rights taken away by John Howard, which is ironic because John Howard is probably the most famous and the most revered conservative Prime Minister. He was a conservative Prime Minister. He took that right away in the 90s when we had a horrific, an absolutely horrific massacre down in Tasmania in Port Arthur. And in the wake of that massacre, that's when John Howard took away the gun law, took away the rights to bear arms. So again, this is why you Americans are fortunate, because you have that written in your constitution where we never had that. So we've lost that right. And here's the thing. See, many Australians will say, well, look, you know, we haven't had any school shootings and et cetera, since then. And but the thing is that we're only a population of 20 million. I mean, you guys are over, what is it?
360 million, yeah.
Yeah, 360. We're only 20 million. And so we are, and also too, we never had the gun culture. See, the Second Amendment for you guys in the US has basically has created this, the right to own a gun as part of your, of what it means to be an American, you know, the fact that you can actually have that right to bear arms. So there's this huge gun culture in the US that's been there for centuries, you know, even from the West, the Wild West and onwards. So gun ownership has always been a major, major thing in the US. Not so much so here. So when they took away the guns, it was mainly farmers and people who lived in rural areas that basically had to hand back their guns. So, but here's the thing. You must understand that even though they have taken away our guns, there is a false security. We are currently living in a false sense of security. Because here's the thing, there is a growing number of young people who favor socialism. A growing number of young people, just as it is in the US, okay? I mean, close to half of all millennials would rather have a socialist government than they will a representative government with free markets. That's worrying. And the thing is that when you consider that more and more young people are favoring socialism, that really says a lot. I mean, you want to hope by the time they get older that they snap out of it. And many of them do. Many of them wake up to themselves and think, you know, that's stupid. Socialism doesn't work. But there is this growing culture where the left is gaining more and more momentum. And that is a major, major concern, because as the left gains more momentum, the more that they will apply pressure to do away with gun laws. I mean, they've already done it here. So all it would take, Vincent, would be for the socialists to seize power, okay? And then basically they will have the guns, and we won't. So that's what I mean by a false sense of security. I mean, sure, it's good now. You know, we don't have any major gun crime in the sense that we don't have massacres and things like that, thank God. But it's just a matter of time before the socialists get into power, and then they can basically do whatever we want with an unarmed populace.
You're more easily controlled, no doubt about that. And when you start thinking about a United Nations agenda, when we start talking about a biblical view of what we're looking at, Daniel, we know that the Bible says that we're going towards a one-world government. It will be an Antichrist one-world government. Everything has been set in motion leading to that. So what we're witnessing as we look through the biblical lens is the formation of what God said would be in the last days. You go to Australia, this wasn't happening 2 years ago. You go to Australia right now, look, you know, you guys are in the news. We have this violence going on in our country, which is a communist agenda. Everybody knows that now. This is out of the playbook. And thank God for people like you who told us. And then we know America is still fighting for its soul. And meanwhile, we have a Category 3 Hurricane Laura that's strengthening right now to a Category 3 coming through Texas. We have issues going on everywhere, but we have to be able to step back and say, well, what are we looking at? And then one thing, I want to ask you this question. There's a gentleman, I knew him many, many years ago back in Southern California, and I found him to be an outstanding individual. His name is Andrew Strom. And I don't know if you know Andrew or not, and he comes from his ministry is a John the Baptist ministry. And Andrew Strom said this morning. I thought it was very interesting. Patricia gave this to me. He said, expect a sudden turn. He said, I'm hoping that many of our American friends have made practical preparations for the hard times ahead, because now is the time to be thinking and praying about these things. I am convinced that though the buildup may be long and steady, what is coming amounts to a sudden break, a sudden descent into chaos that will come with virtually no warning. I believe it will get real bad, real fast. And many who have made solid predictions will basically have no time to enact them. That is how quickly I expect this storm to erupt. What I am really saying is this. If you are going to move, move early. If you have felt led to go to a certain place to ride out the storm, don't hang around. By the time you go to leave, it may be too late. Pray about this is now. God will give you a peace about the right course of action, if any. One of the great dangers right now is the distraction of politics. The election is coming and social media is a war zone. Many Christians are totally caught up in this war. Don't be one of them. Leave others to fight it out. You need to be listening to the Lord at this time, ready to move when he says, the safety of your family could depend on it. Be at the right place at the right time and don't get distracted. As I said, you need to pray about all this. Some of you will end up staying right where you are. Others need to hear from God exactly where they should go and when. I expect the fallout from this thing to go on for quite some time, perhaps many weeks. Be ready and be prepared. Commit yourself to the Lord, and he will keep you in the palm of his hands. And to sum up, some of you need to act on this warning. Others need to take no action whatsoever. God's leading and God's peace are the only things that matter. I am only writing what I feel on my heart to write. It is up to you to pray and ponder these things before the Lord. I have felt an urgency to get this warning out so that it is what I'm doing. The rest is between you and God. Now, Daniel, Andrew seems to be a gentleman that I recall being a very righteous individual. His call was for holiness. He wanted out of the hilarity of, well, you know, the cosmetic prophetic movement that was going on in our country. And I won't go into detail on that, but you know, that's a very serious warning. We've heard it before. Lot's wife, Lot needs to get out of Sodom. Are there enough signs right now from your perspective for that urgent warning to be heeded by some?
Look, I would say, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I believe that for those who are actually living in these Democrat-controlled cities, I would say it's wise to make preparations to get out, because these Democrat cities are very unstable and very virulent, I should say. I would recommend that for sure. I mean, the thing is that the Democrats are very nervous right now. Very nervous. After the DNC convention, Joe Biden didn't get the bump. Usually you get a bump in approval ratings after the convention, but the Republican convention, there has been a surge of support. In fact, the amount of people watching the Republican convention on C-SPAN is six times the amount of people that watched the DNC convention. Six times the people were watching it, the Republican convention. And there are even lifelong Democrats, okay, that have reached out to talkback radio hosts and have said, I've been a Democrat all my life after seeing what the Republicans have had to say, and after seeing what the Democrats didn't say in referring to the riots, because they never mentioned the riots, they are now saying we're going to vote Republican. There are many of them who are saying that. So the Democrats are really nervous right now. Okay, now remember, the left always fights dirty. You never put anything past them, okay, because they will go to desperate measures. That's just the way that they do. The left are completely irrational, okay? They will do anything for power. And so you can – look, don't put a – they will be pushing for a civil war, okay, because they are that determined to reject Donald Trump for a second term. They are that extreme in their determination that they will do anything. They will pull out anything and everything out of their hat to stop Trump from re-election, even if it means pushing for a civil war. That's how extreme they are. They are evil. Okay. Now, obviously, we pray that these individuals who are among the left will come to their senses and repent and come toward God. But the movement of a whole is an evil movement. It's an evil movement. It's a satanic movement. In fact, my saying is this, is that leftism is basically political Satanism. That's exactly what it is. I'm not saying that the people are aware. I'm not saying that they're aware that they're Satanists. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that the leftism movement is a satanic movement. Satan is in and through the entire thing. And because the whole thing is predicated on Marxism. And Karl Marx was an evil, evil, evil man. In fact, he shook his fist at God. He said my entire goal in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. Mm. So, and that when you read his writings, when you read the Communist Manifesto, when you read Das Kapital, when you read all the things that he writes, he has this unbridled hatred towards all things that God, and this comes out in Marxism. It's an insidious movement, and it is an anti-Christ movement. In fact, that's probably the best way to describe it. It is an anti-Christ movement.
Amen.
So it's, and they are totally, they hate the law. They hate law and order. That's why they are extremely, they are so focused on just removing the police. They want to get rid of the police, okay, because they need to create an atmosphere of chaos, because that's how the revolution comes. The revolution can only come through an atmosphere of chaos. They are all for lawlessness. By the way, they are all for pulling away all checks and balances. They want to balance power into the hands of fewer and fewer people. That's why, notice that Paul talks about, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about the Antichrist as the man of lawlessness. He is the man of lawlessness. In fact, he is the complete embodiment of rebellion against God and against God's law and order.
Mm. And he's manifesting all over the world right now. And what makes that movement satanic is the deception that the people are under. And you were saying, you know, you're not railing against the people, but it's the deception. So if we're looking at this global movement right now, from Australia to the nations of the earth, we are witnessing the book of Revelation already opening. And it wouldn't be surprising to me that we've already seen the nation of Islam, you know, came forth in 2014 and beyond. We have witnessed the winds are blowing upon the nations of the earth. We're seeing just one crisis after another. We are moving swiftly towards that global one world government that brings the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. So we're not just kind of being looky-loos and observers of what the world is doing. We're understanding it from a biblical perspective and realizing that one day we may be like Melbourne, Australia, in Victoria, where they're going to want to have taken away the guns. You can't buy or sell without a mark of the beast. You can only go so far. And what precipitates that? You know, what will come to cause that reality? But we know it's coming, Daniel. Is that correct?
Yeah, we know it's coming. And part of the reason why we know that this is an eschatological phenomenon. This is eschatological. This is of the end times. The way that we know that is because it's global in its reach. It's all over the world. All over the world is feeling the effects of this. Okay. So we just had a rare earthquake in Queensland a few days ago.
Hmm.
Okay. So everything that Jesus talked about, okay, we're seeing happening all over the world. Okay. And remember what Jesus said, those seven words. When you see all these things happen, mm-hmm. or eight words if you want to say take place. But listen, when you see all these things take place, or the word all, when you see all these things take place, and we're seeing all these things take place. Furthermore, they're global. They're global in scale. That's the other reason why that we know that this is eschatological. So furthermore, God is making it obvious. He's deliberately making it obvious. You know, one of the things that really struck me was when I saw that footage, just trying to remember where it was. Yeah, in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure if you saw that footage, but it was this incredible footage of the Black Lives Matter protesters that were basically interrogating this girl, trying to force her to raise her fist solidarity.
The restaurant.
Listen, that's not solidarity. That what they want is compliance.
That's right.
Complete compliance. That is so worrying. And listen, I'm just going to see if I can actually show this to you. And I want to actually see if I can actually share my screen.
Okay. Yeah, and while you're putting that together, we're going to get into another conversation. Let me reserve that. Are you able to put that up there? Good morning to a bunch of folks that are joining us right now. Just real quick while you're putting that out there. There you have it. Go ahead and let's share that one. So we can't hear too much, but they're forcing her to raise her fist.
Yep. Yep. Now the girl in the one of the protesters asks, "Are you a Christian?" See her right now?
Yeah.
She says, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" So isn't that interesting? I mean, wow. That really was incredible. The fact that they are interrogating this poor woman, and kudos to her for not raising her fist. Good on her for not doing that.
Yeah,
I can't say the same for her guest that was sitting across from the table.
Right.
But good on her for not raising her fist. And listen, it was very chilling that the protesters, when they were interrogating it, said, "Are you a Christian?" Think about that. Let that sink in.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're days away from the beginning of the month of September. Let's kind of put some things in perspective right now. September, October, November, there seems to be a tremendous amount of concentration during those months, but nobody's putting dates. Okay. But there is a tremendous amount of concentration from every direction. What we're looking at in Victoria, if you're joining late in the broadcast, Victoria, Australia, Melbourne, Australia, is under a restriction 4 or level 4 restrictions, where people are literally feeling as though they are under a communist regime like Big Brother 1984 reality, that they are not allowed to do a lot of stuff. There's food shortages, meat shortages. They can't travel without their papers. Police and military are coming to their houses without warrants. And they're crying out for help, believe it or not, in Melbourne. But what we're looking at is a snapshot of what the global agenda will be. We are watching from afar, once again, on television, in our easy chairs, the rioting, the disruptions, what's going on in different places. But we have this mindset, well, that'll never happen to us. That will never happen to me. And yet we're getting these words of knowledge and wisdom by the Spirit of God to make your preparations, get ready, prepare, and get ready to endure the harshness that is coming. I mean, that woman right there that you just showed, she has to endure to the end. And let's just say that pressure that was being applied to her, that was a moment of her taking a stand, whether or not. Now, somebody else would have raised their hand, right? So you never really know what you're going to do until you're forced by it. But, man, you could start making your preparations, can't you, Daniel?
Absolutely. You know, it reminded me of that famous picture of that man at the Nazi rally where all of them are raising their Heil Hitler with their open hands in salute to Hitler. And here's this man doing this. You know, he's not having a bar of it. He's doing this. And many of you have already seen that graphic. And in some of the graphic, it circles the man that says, "Be this guy." Look, the parallels are astonishing. The parallels really are astonishing, except, you know, in the times of Nazi Germany, their fist was open, whereas with the BLM, their fist is they have a closed fist. It's the only difference. It's still showing a sign of allegiance. to a fascistic radical socialist organization, and that's exactly what Black Lives Matter are. They are a Marxist communist organization. They make no bones about that. They've been open about that. In fact, when you read their manifesto on their website, you can see it all there.
Okay, so this is all coming down the pike. Now, let's shift just a little bit. I want to talk about something that's going on in Israel, because I know that Bibi Netanyahu had protesters coming against him by the thousands, I understood, before his house. But more than that, Daniel, in the book of Revelation, as we're leading up to that global one world government, these two prophets, these two witnesses, and I know Israel, Every time somebody goes Israel, they're one of them, right? We're not. We're fleas here, so that's not the issue. But these two prophets, these two witnesses, these guys show up, and I would think under the present climate of what's going on around the world as we're marching towards that globalization, that one world government, that the ministry of these two prophets are going to have to begin to manifest at some point. What is your take on that?
They're very unusual figures, and they arouse a lot of speculation among Bible students and scholars, and there are a lot of conjecture in regard to the identity of these two individuals. Now, personally, I kind of see these guys like a kind of like, you know, I mean, I'll say it this way. I kind of see the two witnesses as being like not a reincarnation, but I kind of see them like as a Moses and an Elijah, like a Moses and an Elijah. And the reason why I say that is because these people inflict plagues. Okay. Now we know that Moses had that ability with his staff. So, they also had the power to shut up the sky that it would not rain. And that's exactly what Elijah did under his ministry. He had that ability to do that. So, and also too, you know, I think it's interesting that on the Mount of Transfiguration, who did Jesus have at either side of him? He had Moses and Elijah. Hmm. So I believe that these two individuals could very well be manifest on the earth at some point. And that's what they do. And they will be carrying out their ministry for exactly 42 months. For 3.5 years. In fact, the Bible says that during this particular time, the Gentiles, basically, that the outer court of the will be given over to the Gentiles, and they'll trample on the city for 42 months. This is exactly what Jesus said when he said that. But Jerusalem will be trampled on the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. So these individuals are very interesting. What I think is also another interesting point to make from these two particular individuals is that when they are killed, the people in celebration to their deaths do something very interesting, is that they give gifts to one another. They give gifts. Now, that is a hallmark of Muslim culture. Whenever, and this is what you'll find is that whenever they carry out a successful terrorist attack against the Jews, they will basically hand out candy and give gifts to one another, which I think is, very, yeah, but that's what they do. Whenever they are successful in carrying out a terror attack, they pass out candy, they eat sweets. They have people with platters, and they go out into the street and they hand out the sweets to people in the street, and they give gifts to one another. So you can almost kind of say, well, you know, this is kind of like this is Islamic practice going on right here, which gives you a bit of an indicator of the type of people that will kill the two witnesses.
Very interesting. And we know that John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah. So we know that spirit kind of transfers, right? And some people have reckoned it, and this is a possibility. You know, these two witnesses have the power to shut up heaven, call down fire, strike the earth as often as they will, with as many plagues as they will. And some people are saying that these witnesses are in the earth already, and they've been working. And a lot of the stuff we see going on, disrupting globalization at times, is because of their ministry. Now, I'm not sure that's true or not. But some people have said the two witnesses would be the Holy Spirit and the church. So there is a lot of talk about it. But if these two were to show up tomorrow and they happen to be in Jerusalem, would their ministry be known around the world? Would everybody know in the world today through technology that there are the two witnesses? Or is it possible that they're already working in the earth? Who knows, right?
But here's the thing. They begin their ministry from the moment that the abomination of desolation is set up. So from the moment that the abomination that causes desolation is set up in the temple by the Antichrist, okay, so the Antichrist will have to appear in the temple. When he sets up the abomination that causes desolation, that will be when their ministry will begin.
So the temple has to be built first.
Yes.
And how close are they right now in Jerusalem to having the temple literally become operative?
Well, let me put it this way. The Temple Institute have all the vestibules. They have all the utensils and the garments. And they even have many of, like, the menorah is all ready to go. And listen, even the architecture in regard to the building itself, much of it has already been prefabricated. And is already, all it will take would be to put all these architectural walls and things onto a truck, get it to wherever it is that they're going to build it, and basically get a crane, and the crane will pull these walls up and put them in place. And it's very, it can be assembled very, very quickly. So, who knows what? Listen, I do like to speculate on how what the scenario would be in which that would happen. For me, it could be a scenario in which, you know, they have been given favor. Listen, if Trump gets in, and let's just say hypothetically that he's able to carry out another 3 years or 4 years of his administration, he could very well actually give Israel the green light to go ahead and do that. Okay. Now, if he does do that, you can just imagine what would happen. I mean, the Antichrist will be absolutely fomenting over that. And so he would basically lead the armies against Israel, crush Israel's defenses, and march victoriously into Jerusalem to the temple and basically desecrate it, because that's what he thinks of it. So he could very well do that. The other scenario is that Israel is in a position where they've got no other option, and basically they're at the end of they basically think, well, to heck with it, let's just do it. I mean, the nations aren't going to hate us any more than they already do right now, so let's just might as well go and do it. And besides, in doing this, we could trigger the Messiah to come. They could come at from that angle as well. So those two different scenarios, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
So people really shouldn't be waiting around for the temple to be built before they start preparing. I think people need to start preparing because it's so close to us right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about the parable of the 10 virgins and the symbolism of the oil. Listen, for many, many, many years, I always thought of the oil of, I just interpreted it allegorically to mean the Holy Spirit. But the more I think about it, and the more I think about the use of olive oil in the ancient world, olive oil had a multifaceted purpose. It was used for all sorts of things. It was used for cooking. It had medicinal purposes. Oil was used for, look, a whole range of different things, including the light, obviously for the light for the lamps, but when you look at all the multifaceted uses for olive oil, it's almost as if Jesus deliberately used the analogy of oil to emphasize, listen, oil for us to interpret in modern times basically means stock up on what you need to survive, you know, on what you need to get through. Now, listen, I need to be very careful in saying that, because the entire purpose of the attitude of our hearts in the Great Tribulation is not to be survivalists, but rather to be revivalists. That is really, really important. Okay, remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 when he said, watch out, otherwise, you know, you will be distracted by dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you like a trap. But he said, pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Listen, praying that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen is one thing, but preparing yourself and preparing your heart that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man is another thing altogether. Okay, if I had the choice, I mean, you can do both, but if I had the choice to choose between surviving all that is about to happen or to stand before the Son of Man, I want to be able to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
I mean, come on. I mean, we all need to have that heart. We need to have the attitude and the heart of a revivalist, not necessarily a survivalist, although being a survivalist is absolutely wise. Make no mistake about that. There is a lot of wisdom in having measures in which you can actually survive if in a worst case scenario. And that's the entire purpose of the symbolism of oil, because oil is multifaceted. There's many different purposes. Listen, we need to be practical as well as spiritual in our focus.
Daniel, as you're talking, I'm reminded in this time, and this is where now I want to focus to our listeners, okay? We did what we were supposed to do. We're declaring the signs of the times. We're not ignoring them. We're not burying our heads. We're watching, but we're interpreting the signs of the times through the biblical lens. We're bringing focus to it. We need to understand, and I think we're getting there. One of my bi-yearly chores, Daniel, you've been to our home here in Arkansas. We have that big driveway, and every other year I have to take a power washer out, and I have to power wash all that sediment that gets on top of it, that black stuff. And yesterday I was out there, and I'm just power washing, and all that black stuff has to go, and that beautiful shine of the real driveway begins to appear. And I obviously was thinking about, Lord, you need to power wash our hearts. Lord, you need to come in and you need to take that stain away. You need to remove the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, the reproach, the humiliation, the disgrace that is in the heart of your people, because it's holding them back from shining forth the glory of the Messiah that is already in us. And so this is a great time to get power washed. And if power washing is not enough, then we could go into sandblasting, right? We could really get in there. But this is really, honestly, saints of God, the thing that we need to be doing. We need to know that God has been saying, I'm going to roll the reproach off of my ecclesia in this hour. This is Father's intention. And Daniel, I believe the way he's going to do it, and I'm just going to throw this out, I believe there's going to be a revelation of the blood of the Lamb for God's people in this hour. I believe the appointed feast that will begin September 18th with the Day of Trumpets, the 10 Days of Awe, the Day of Atonement, those 4 days of preparation for the Great Feast of Tabernacles that will begin on October 2nd, that in this appointed time that God is gathering together his people, and his intention, his strategic purpose is to roll away that reproach. And how will it be? By the blood of the Lamb, a revelation of the blood that can remove every stain, every blemish, every blot on a person's heart or mind. I am very happy that we're moving into the season of the economy of the kingdom of God while the world is going through what it's going through. Though it intensify, the intensification of God's purpose is also ready to manifest forth.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Bring it on. Oh, listen, people need to get that revelation. They need to get revelation of what the Lord has done for them on the cross. But people need to get the revelation that they need to prepare their hearts to endure. That is the word. That is the word for the season.
Endure.
Endure. Mm. Endure. Endure. Remember what Jesus said, that he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
He that endures to the end. Why does he say that? Well, listen, the temptation to take the mark of the beast is going to be massive. It'll be off the charts massive. Okay. There'll be, especially if you're not really prepared. Okay. Because listen, if you've got no way of being able to buy and sell, if you've got no way of getting food for your family, okay, if you are that ill prepared, whereas you don't have any means of being able to provide for your family, then it's going to be, the temptation is going to be massive to take the mark. So that's why Jesus says, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Many will give in to the temptation and will take the mark. Now, listen, especially if those believe that they are not even in the tribulation, because they think, well, if it was a tribulation, I'm not going to be here. Mm. Huh?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's a real possibility. That's a real possibility. There are many that are so hitched to that pre-trib doctrine that they will refuse to believe that they are in the tribulation. They will even refuse to believe that the Antichrist is actually the Antichrist, because in their mind they're thinking, no, I'm not supposed to be here, because I'm, you know, the Antichrist is revealed after we're gone. Okay, can you see where this is going? So they will say, well, what they're offering can't be the mark of the beast, so I'm just going to take it anyway. And that way I can at least provide for my family. Listen, that might seem a little bit crazy. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think that could definitely be a real life scenario, and this is why we need to prepare. Listen, the wise virgins were prepared because they knew that the night was going to be long. They knew that the night was going to be long, and that's why they were prepared. That's why they stocked up on oil. We need to have that attitude.
Daniel, with that being said, one of the kind of epiphanies I've been having lately is what happened with Peter in Jesus. Peter, moments before Jesus's arrest and death, was proclaiming, Lord, I'm going to go with you to death. I'm going to be there for you. I am there. I am all in. And when the tribulation began to manifest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he and the rest of the disciples denied him. He denied him particularly. They all split. And what God is saying, there's only one person in the universe that knows what you are going to do, and that is God. You may think right now that you're going to stand, and you may have that resoluteness, and you may say like the Apostle Paul, I have the sentence of death upon my life. But we won't know anything personally about ourselves until that moment comes. But I want you to know that God knows what your heart is going to do before it ever happens. He knows. And that's why I believe God is saying, I know the hearts of my kids that are not going to deny my name. And some of them will be subjected to martyrism. But there is a place of preservation as well, where I'm going to, like the Church of Philadelphia, take care of my kids. I'm going to keep them from the hour of temptation that's coming on the whole earth. I will preserve them in the wilderness during the Great Tribulation for 3.5 years. Some people on this planet are not going to be touched, like the 144,000 in the seal of the Father, by the Great Tribulation. The majority will. But Daniel, it's because God knows us better than we know ourselves.
Yeah. 100%. Listen, we have no idea how we will respond to persecution until we're faced with it. That's exactly why Jesus said, listen, you need to pray. Listen, if Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if he prayed for himself that he could endure, okay, he prayed. He says, Father, please take this cup from me. Take it from me. But not my will, but your will be done. And then we read in Hebrews that it says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. What was the joy that was set before him? I believe it was us. He was doing it for us, that our sins will be forgiven through his work on the cross. And that was the joy that was set before him that enabled him to endure. So we need to be able to endure when we're faced with the same thing. And listen, of course, when we think about persecution, we can, in our own bravado, think, yeah, we can do it, bring it on. I mean, look at the mother of the sons of Zebedee when she went to Jesus and she said, Jesus, let my two sons sit at your left and at your right when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, dear woman, this is not for me to grant. This is for my Father in heaven to decide. He says, and then he says this. This is really interesting. He says, are your sons able to drink the cup I am going to drink? And he's referring to the cup of suffering. And of course, what do they say? Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, we'll take it on. Without comprehending the
depth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Without comprehending the fact that Jesus was going to go through oblivion, like just, you know, and they there's no way possible that they would have been able to comprehend it. Now, let me say this. Don't let that shake you or rattle you. Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to comfort your hearts. Okay? If we have our eyes on Jesus, then we've got nothing to worry about. Okay? We don't need to stress. We can be at complete peace. In my mind, I've got this picture of this guy, and he's in a boat. He's in a, like a small boat, and he's got his feet up like that, and there's sharks all around him. But this guy is at complete peace, you know. And again, think of the story when the disciples were in the boat when the storm came. Okay, the disciples were, Jesus, wake up, you know. The disciples really needed to have the revelation that Jesus was in their boat. And Jesus is in our boat, okay? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No Amen. Weapon formed against you shall prosper. Just remember that. The safest place to be is to be in the will of God, okay? And listen, we have got some things to do in between then. And one of those big things that we need to do is to pray. Jesus said, pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
That's an excellent word. Yeah, I just want to take a moment. And when we're talking about this, it was amazing to me that Jesus said to those two brothers, okay, well, you're going to drink the cup, but I can't really give you the authority who's going to sit on my right hand and left hand, but you will. And they did. They were martyred for their faith later on.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about examining ourselves, last week, I think it was on Friday or Thursday, I really let the left and the DNC, the little bit that I saw of it, get under my skin. And I produced a video last Thursday or Friday, and someone said, man, you sounded really angry. And I began to justify thinking in my mind, well, there is a righteous anger against this nuttiness that's going on. But, you know, after further review, searching my heart, man, we have to be careful. I have to be careful and really almost apologize for allowing that antagonism to get into me, that it would come forth. And so I do publicly apologize for that bit of anger and that angst. And I know I have friends that will say, man, everybody has a right to be angry, but we do have to be careful not to let our love grow cold. Right, Daniel?
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Jesus said in Matthew 24, because of the rise of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. You found yourself in that situation. I found myself in that situation. I see some of the stuff going on in the world, and I just have to catch myself. I think, man, the impact is massive to get all worked up and to get angry. It really is. It's a massive temptation, and I can understand why now Jesus said that.
Yeah, and he did have a whip, and he did go through the temple, but he was Jesus. Hey, we've got a minute left in the broadcast, and you know, we're getting ready to close out here. I'm excited about what's coming for us in the days that lie ahead. Daniel, your final word before we get running today.
Final word. I would just basically say, watch, keep watching, be a very observant, don't be distracted. Keep focus, and you know, Jesus said, be careful or you will be weighed down by dissipation. Carousing is another translation, drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Be careful of those three things.
Amen.
One of the things that's been evident in the lockdowns is that the use of pornography has gone through the roof.
Wow.
The other thing is alcoholism has gone through the roof. Okay, and obviously anxiety through the roof. Those three things in what we've experienced in the lockdown are those three things that Jesus warned about. you know, and he says, watch out because the day will close in on you like a trap. That's why we need to be very wary and very careful.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and these three remain, said Paul the Apostle, faith, hope, and love, FHL. Yeah. We need the FHL, faith, hope, and love. Daniel Seckham, yeah. Great ministry today. Thank you, my brother. I know you are pursuing the possibility of coming, but you said that there's a somewhat of a, what is it, not a lockdown.
A travel ban.
A travel ban. So we need that to lift in time, and we'll continue to pray for that. But either way, we could always have you join us for a session just like this over at the Ministry Center where you could talk to the body from Australia if need be. But we sure would love to have you out here. We got some ping pong retribution that we need to have with you, some vengeance matches. But besides that, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Seckham all the way from Australia, late in the evening, around 1 o'clock in the morning. Daniel, thank you. God bless you, my friend. All right.
God bless.
Shalom. We'll see Daniel next week, Lord willing. Tomorrow, I'm going to be interviewing Pastor Kevin Honeycutt from Tennessee. He'll be with me as a special guest tomorrow. And Friday, Pastor David Obenauer. Both these pastors are going to be coming to the Ark in Northwest Arkansas for the Feast of Tabernacles. They'll be bringing the Word of God, but I want to continue to introduce them to our listeners out there. Keep Pastor Kevin, Daniel, David in your prayers, their wives, their families. And we're looking forward to a great feast. And I do want to spend 30 seconds, again, making an appeal to our listeners. We are a totally listener-supported ministry. We have a great Feast of Tabernacles that we are hosting. We need some financial resources. Would you please pray and ask the Lord if there are some financial resources that you would send in our direction? We have a tent and chairs and tables that we normally get every year. It's about $1,000 for that. We have food for the seven-day feast. We need to prepare for that in the literature and the guests and the speakers and their, you know, the different things that we do. We're not going to put a number on it. We're just going to say if God tells you to send a healthy check for the Feast of Tabernacles, God bless you. If you send just a little bit, want to say thank you to those of you that have already given. We have received about $500 for the Feast of Tabernacles. We have a much larger need for that. So please pray. And then if you want to give to the ministry, simply go to our website at nwmglobal.org, NWM, standing for New Wine Ministry, global, nwmglobal.org, and you could give online. Make it just clear. This is for the Feast of Tabernacles, and it will go directly to that. I'm going to leave it there for today. God bless you. Thank you for your interest in our ministry. Thank you for your prayer, your support in our work. We're looking forward to seeing everybody for this appointed Feast of Tabernacles, October 2nd through October 9th. We're going to do our best to be a host. All we do is prepare. We let God do the rest. We're going to know that Holy Spirit is among us and their strategy for our lives. I believe it with all of my heart. Stay focused. Stay the course. Keep your head in the heavens. And be observant to what's going on around you. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right now on omegaradio.org. Patricia Joy Xavier is bringing a roundtable discussion out of her book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. You're not going to want to miss that. Omegaradio.org starts right now. Until we meet again, shalom, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.